Hello, welcome to Adventures of an Inspired Amateur, a podcast created to explore the strange insides and curious outsides of the many, often obscure, musical worlds that have inspired Book of Kills to produce hundreds of songs over the past 30-odd years. I'm Jim Shelley, and I'll be your host and humble guide for this 20 minutes of analysis, introspection, and reminiscence, and a big helping of Book of Kills music. Thanks for listening. And now, here's this week's episode. I spent a lot of time thinking about what the focus of this podcast would be. The music of Book of Kills is hardly what you'd call well-known. Jim Santo, a former critic for Alternative Press, once wrote that Book of Kills' audience largely consisted of a handful of lost souls scattered about the globe, and I guess that's just about the truth. But I figured that focusing on how and why certain songs of mine came into being might prove interesting, not just to those so-called lost souls, but perhaps a smattering of curious passersby as well. And where best to start an examination of the birth of hundreds of rock and roll songs than at the beginning?
Big star, gonna go far. You burn and you know it. Free lick, double quick. You burn and you show it.
I don't know when I first heard the Beatles, though I'm fairly certain that the first song I heard of theirs was I Want to Hold Your Hand. I do remember sometime in late 1963 riding to my elementary school in a crowded school bus and arguing with a friend about the band's staying power. He insisted the Beatles would be lucky to make it through the coming year before they faded into obscurity. "No, I think they're going to stick around a long time," I replied. I was certain about that. The Beatles were different. They had something that I'd never heard in any solo artist or band before them, though I couldn't precisely articulate what that something was. Hey, what do little kids actually know? They just feel. Anyway, my friend and I rode the bus 45 minutes each way to and from school every day, so the two of us had lots of time to discuss this latest pressing issue of the moment. "My dad said the Beatles are just another
flash in the pan,"
my friend said. "What's a flash in the pan?" I asked. I'm not sure," my friend said, "but I think it just means
they're not that good."
"I don't know," I said. "They're cool. I think they're really good." They're cool and really good. That was about the extent of my critical abilities at the time. But what the hell more did I have to say about the Beatles to justify my love for them? Their music made me happier than anything I'd ever heard before. Hound Dog was thrilling. The great genius Buddy Holly's Peggy Sue was sublime. But I Want to Hold Your Hand was the newest, freshest, most alive thing created by humans that had ever blessed my ears. "They're definitely going to stick around," I said. I knew they weren't a flash in the pan. And I did know why they were so good. They played their guitars loud. They liked to yell. They had really long hair that almost reached all the way down to their collars. They even had a drummer named Ringo. And all the girls loved them. They definitely had staying power. And they were from England, damn it. I was born on February 9th, 1964, a little after 8 p.m. All right, I know, not really. At least not in the official sense. But you see, that was the night the Beatles played the Ed Sullivan Show for the first time. The Sullivan Show was a popular vaudeville-influenced variety program that ran on CBS for years. President Kennedy had been assassinated little more than 2 months before, and the shock of his death still hung over the nation like a huge black veil. I recall fairly well the day Kennedy was shot, but I can remember the night the Beatles played Ed Sullivan, oh, so much more vividly. They yanked that dark call of misery off the country's noggin and replaced it with a big old party hat. Oh man, what a night.
The girls made the banjos bang. The boys blew our gold bells ring. And this is where I stood that day. Yeah, this is where I stood that day. Crewlands became our crew.
My mom and dad and I watched Sullivan's Show just about every Sunday night. He always provided entertainment for everyone, both young and old, with acts running from comedians like Martin and Lewis to icons of the theater like Julie Andrews, to corny puppets like Topo Gigio, to pop groups like the Supremes, the Beach Boys, and Elvis Presley, and the Beatles. Now, I'd known for a couple weeks that the Beatles were set for an appearance on the February 9th show. And as the Sunday rolled ever closer, 8 o'clock was pretty much all I could think about. Of course, I'd heard the Beatles on the radio and noticed one or two grainy pictures of them in the newspapers. But to see them live in our living room on our 19-inch black and white television, man, that was a whole nother thing. The boys did not disappoint. After they'd wrapped up the last of their five numbers with a pounding rendition of the revolutionary I Want to Hold Your Hand, my head and heart were spinning like gyroscopes. Nothing would ever be the same for me again. I feel sort of sorry for kids these days. It doesn't seem to me as though there's such a thing anymore as the shock of the new. Nowadays, it feels like everything's been done. Music, movies, TV shows, poetry, and what have you. It all feels sort of secondhand, recycled, even if it's so-called brand new. Art seems to have lost its transformational powers. Can any teenager today understand what it was like to see those four young Englishmen playing She Loves You, and to suddenly realize that the sounds you were hearing, the things you were seeing, were irrevocably changing the realities of your life in a way you could not even hope to comprehend? The Beatles were the warmth of a sunny spring day, and I was a butterfly busting out of his cocoon.
It takes a stronger grip than yours to hold the hand they play. And the world will shake. And the world will shake. And the world will shake my bones.
Yeah, I know. I'm guilty of what we all eventually end up doing as we grow old and irrelevant. It's that dusty in my day cliche, right? Hey, kids, listen. The good old days were never that good, believe me. The good new days are today. And better days are coming tomorrow. Our greatest songs are still unsung. At least that's what we have to hope. I know my story is pretty similar to those of the millions of other American youngsters who watched the Ed Sullivan Show that evening. My dad was parked in his recliner, cursing the noise and mocking the girly haircuts the Beatles sported, while my mom sat on the couch pretending to read a magazine and tapping her foot to the music ever so discreetly. I sat on the floor about 5 feet in front of the TV screen so I could get the full effect of the band's performance. After the last song was over and while the girls in the studio audience were still going nuclear, I turned to Mom and blurted out,
"My birthday's in 3 weeks. Would you please take me to Woolworths tomorrow after school to get the new Beatles album? Please, 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 please."
Mom cracked open a crooked little smile and said, "We'll see. Maybe." Meanwhile, Dad was still ranting about the god-awful din he'd just witnessed. "I don't see how they call that music," he groused. "Worst bunch of garbage I've ever heard in my life." Then he got up and went to take a dump. That's known in some circles as a symbolic act.
She can increase vibrations, patching her cracks in terms of calculations.
The next day at school, I noticed something sort of peculiar. All the kids were talking about the Beatles' appearance on Ed Sullivan from the night before, but most of the boys were putting down the Beatles as sissies. More interesting to me, though, was that the girls all turned dreamy-eyed any time someone mentioned John's or Paul's or George's or Ringo's name. I thought about that for a little while and then decided I was going to ask for something else besides a new basketball or baseball bat for my next birthday. I wanted a guitar. When I got home that afternoon and trudged off to my room to change into my regular clothes, a shiny new copy of Meet the Beatles was lying on my bed. God bless the very large hearts of good moms everywhere.
She's my answer to forget yesterday. Let's the chance back troubles shared today. Can't believe that somehow we're all still here. Thought we'd lose our few before we got this near. Can't go wrong, that much is very clear. I can tell by the way you squeeze your beer.
It's not one, but two new albums by Jim Shelley and Booker Kills. I Know We Can Save This World, and Every Dream Has Its Ghosts. Each album has got 16 brand new songs, including this one.
And now they say you're gone, but I can still hear your song. And what's that ghost we still dream upon?
And this one too.
Jim Shelley and Booker Kill's latest records, I Know We Can Save Our World, and Every Dream Has Its Ghosts, available worldwide on all streaming music services. Special handmade compact disc versions, available only through BookerKills.com. Get yours. That's all for this episode, folks. I hope you'll tune in next time for more adventures of an inspired amateur. And as always, thanks for listening.